Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Why Am I So Happy? Today, I am sharing a beautiful and amazing young lady. My guest today is Ashley Park. Ashley is a native of Little Rock, Arkansas. She currently lives in Los Angeles. She is currently Miss Asia USA 2015 to 2016 and was Miss Korea USA 2014 to 2015 this past year. She entered the world of athletics at a young age and was a competitive athlete for many years as an award-winning swimmer and multiple-time state champion in cross-country and track. Training was her top priority. Having wanted to be an actress since childhood, Ashley transitioned into another competitive environment soon after graduating, waltzing off to the bright lights of Hollywood. I love it. She is now a working actress in Los Angeles, focused on film and television. After a brief stint on the soap opera Days of Our Lives, Ashley has been fortunate enough to star in several feature films. I am so excited to have you on the show today, Ashley. Welcome.
Thank you so much. I'm really happy to be here.
Oh, I am just so thrilled. Well, tell us a little bit about what it was like growing up in Little Rock. I would love that.
Oh, absolutely. It's hard to say. What is different about Little Rock than other places? It's home to me. So mm-hmm. I have such fond memories of being there. I literally was born there. I grew up there, and I didn't leave until I went to college. And then I went to college at the University of Oklahoma briefly, and then I returned to Arkansas and finished at the University of Arkansas in Fayetteville for my degree. So I was there my entire life. So it's just home. It's my base. It's my heart. Aww. It's where I come from. So,
yes.
Yeah.
Oh, isn't that beautiful? I love that. And and wherever we go, we take a piece of home with us, don't we?
Absolutely. Yes. I'm in LA right now, and I haven't been home since Christmas, actually. I think it's the longest that I've ever gone without going home, and I really miss it right now. I really, really miss it. So I'm excited to go home for the holidays and see my family.
Oh, I love it. I love it. When and where were you when you realized that you wanted to be in front of a camera?
I feel like I was really young when I decided I wanted to do that, but it was funny because I was very introverted as a child. I read books a lot, but I had this desire because I was obsessed with My Fair Lady and Disney princess movies, and I used to perform and sing for my family. And so I think I realized it at a very young age, but I went into competitive running. That was what my dad had done for many years, and I started to tag along with him. And I realized I really loved long-distance running, and I took it so seriously. I trained so many hours every day, and that just became my life, was competitive cross-country and track. And so I did that all through high school, and then I went on to do it in college at the Division I level at the University of Oklahoma and then the University of Arkansas. And so, that just took so much of my time. But when I was in college, I actually decided to major in broadcast journalism. And that is, I think, what I was starting to realize, that I was beginning my journey to go on camera. And then I was actually an intern at 17 Magazine because I was also interested in fashion. Oh, and so, and when I was there, my dorm was actually across the street from an acting school. And I went in and just auditioned and suddenly realized, hey, I like this. I think I'm going to try it out. And have been doing it ever since.
I love it. I love it. When you first went to LA, were you more focused on the acting or the pageants?
Acting. Acting was actually just it for me. At pageants, I actually got recruited in, I guess it was 2014, to join the Miss Asia USA circuit, and I was a little bit hesitant about it, actually. I've never been interested in pageantry, and my parents thought it would be a really great opportunity. They talked me into it, and I'm really glad I did it now. It was one of the most amazing experiences of my life.
Oh, I love it. I love us. Tell us a bit about that, and with the experiences and the responsibilities that you now have with that.
Sure, absolutely. Well, when I became Miss Korea USA, I just had a duty to the Miss Asia circuit to, you know, uphold Virgilia Productions to the best of my ability. They're actually the ones that produce all the Miss Asia USA and Miss Latina Global pageants. And so I spent the year training and preparing for the Miss Asia USA competition, which was quite a bit of work. We had a lot of rehearsals. You get designs made, costumes made, and I'd never done pageantry, so I had no idea how to walk on a stage or how to wear 6-inch heels, and so it took a lot of training, a lot of lessons, and a lot of work to prepare for Miss Asia USA, which was honestly one of the best days of my entire life. It was truly incredible.
Oh, that is so awesome, Ashley. You go, girl. I love it.
Thank you.
And I can imagine there is so much more to participating in a pageant than most of us realize.
Absolutely. I have so much respect for women who do pageants. One of my coaches, she actually has been doing pageants since she was a child, and I feel like she said she's done over 30 throughout her life, and it's just, it's a lot of pageants. So it's a lot of work. You know, I did one major pageant, and just the time and effort and energy that goes into it is truly unbelievable. All the choreography for each movement of the dance, each turn when you're walking, everything is choreographed ahead of time. And it's a ton of work. It's truly incredible what they do.
Wow.
And I was really honored to be part of that.
Oh, so it's a big commitment, I would think.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
It is definitely a huge commitment, but it's worth it. It's definitely worth it. I had no idea what a pageant took. And it's just absolutely amazing.
What was that like for you, the moment when the announcement was made that you had won the pageant? What was that like?
It was amazing. I remember the song that was playing was actually called Walking on Air by Katy Perry, and it's the perfect description of what it felt like because I really didn't expect it. When I was called into top five, I was already surprised. When they started announcing the runner-ups and everything, I was like, well, just waiting for my name. And then when I made top two, I was like, wow, I don't even know what was going through my head. I think it was just completely surreal. And of course, when my name was announced, I was just completely floored. There's a lot of pictures circulating around the internet, I think, the moment when I won, and I think my face is just like, what? It's very, very shocked and excited and thrilled, and it was absolutely surreal.
Oh, that is just so awesome. And, you know, when you think about it, you know, being a pageant winner, really, you are a role model for other young women. How do you feel about that?
It's an honor, and it's definitely something that I don't take lightly. I do try, whenever I go to events, to, as I said before, uphold the crown, uphold the title, and Virgilia Productions to the best of my ability. And then, of course, being an actress in LA, especially one of my ethnicity, being half Caucasian and half Asian, one of my big things is just being able to promote having more diversity on television and in film. And that's something that I hope to push and to continue to pursue in Hollywood. And so it's something that means a lot to me. It's very near and dear to my heart.
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. Do you see now with you doing more with film and TV, do you see yourself entering more pageants?
You know, I don't think so. I think that I'm kind of one and done. That was my big hurrah, and I believe that will be it for me in terms of pageantry. I think that my focus will be more on other things that I'm doing in my life, as well as, you know, acting. And I don't think I'll be doing any more pageants.
Yes, yes.
It was just truly, truly the most incredible experience of my life. I can't say that enough, clearly.
And now, you know, so many new doors are opening for you. It's so exciting. Mm-hmm. I just love it.
Absolutely.
And we're going to pop out for a break, but when we come back from the break, we will share information with everyone about your new movie, Rogue Warrior, Robot Fighter, that just premiered a few weeks ago. So I'm really excited to chat with you about your acting career and what that's like. So everyone, stay tuned. I will be right back with Ashley Park. Thank you so much. Thank you, Ashley.
Thank you.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back. If you're just jumping in, I am here with Ashley Park. Just an amazing, beautiful young lady. She is not only a pageant winner, she is Miss Asia USA this year, Miss Korea USA last year. She is an aspiring actress living in LA. She has done TV, she's doing movies. So before we talk to Ashley about her latest film, I would love to ask you, because it really brings back memories, what was it like to work on the soap opera Days of Our Lives? Share a bit about that, if you would, Ashley.
Absolutely. It was an incredible experience. It was actually my first time to do a television show, and so it was truly surreal for me, just getting to be on a set of that caliber and get to work with such wonderful actors, because truly soap operas, they're just an actor's playground. These actors are incredible. The amount of dialogue that they have to do and learn in such a short period of time, and just the sheer number of days that they work, these actors are truly incredible. I'm actually friends with quite a few people who are on soap operas as regular leads, and they're just the most amazing, humble, down-to-earth, most talented people that I know. So my experience on Days of Our Lives was just that, with people who are absolutely incredible, and just the sets run so efficiently. It's very, very impressive.
That is so awesome. Yes. And I can imagine, because it is a series, it's every day, how much time and focus they have to have in this show.
Absolutely, they do. Every single actor I know who's on a soap opera is just unbelievable. The most incredible people. Every single one I've met. It's really uncanny how incredible they all are.
Yes, yes. Well, tell us about your latest film, which was just premiered a few weeks ago, Rogue Warrior, Robot Fighter. Tell us about that experience and any feedback you've gotten.
Absolutely. Well, we had a wonderful premiere a couple of weekends ago. I believe we had a lot of press covering the event, and a lot of people walked up to us afterwards and just said how incredible the film was, and it was more than they even anticipated. And there's been a lot of hype going into the premiere, with teaser trailers and articles written about it. And it's, of course, starring Tracy Birdsall as Sienna, and it follows her journey with this world that's been taken over by AI. And so it's a really interesting film that is more, I think, emotional and deep and intimate than you might expect from a typical sci-fi film. I feel like this film is far from your typical film when it comes to sci-fi. So, we had a great reaction to it. We had a fun Q&A afterwards with the cast and crew, and it was really cool, because when you work on a film of this magnitude, a lot of times you don't get to meet all of the actors who work in at different days or different times than you do. So it was really cool to get to meet other people who worked on the project, and the people who are in this film, the caliber of talent is absolutely incredible. So it was a really great premiere.
Oh, I love it. I love it. So tell the listeners, because they're going to be excited to watch this now, what should they look for and watch it to find the time and place when it will be available for them to see?
Absolutely. Well, I think if listeners look it up on the internet, just Rogue Warrior Robot Fighter, they should be announcing, because I believe they're still working through where all it's going to be located in terms of if it'll be on a DVD, television, where all it's going to go. So I think they'll be making announcements about that pretty soon now that it's premiered. So I'd say just keep tabs on it. Rogue Warrior Robot Fighter.
Excellent, excellent. Would you like to share any website information to the listeners on how they can learn about you or your projects or what's going on?
Sure, absolutely. Well, my website is www.theashleypark.com. Instagram and Twitter are also really great ways to see what I'm currently working on, and that's just at XO Ashley Park. And then IMDb is always a really great way because the projects that I'm doing currently usually pop up pretty quickly.
Oh, I love it. I love it. So are you enjoying film work? I mean, it has to be really fascinating. How are you enjoying that compared to, you know, where your life was 5 years ago?
Absolutely. Well, I'm really loving it the past couple of years because I think that I just kind of came into my own when it comes to knowing who I am and kind of what I want and what I want in the industry. So it's been a lot of fun to make all these new discoveries, especially over the past couple of years. And I'm just really enjoying every step of the journey.
Oh, that is so fun. That is so fun. Mm-hmm. How do you feel when you see yourself on screen? What's that like, Ashley?
You know, I'm actually the worst at that. All of my friends and co-stars, they laugh. Like when we were at Rogue Warrior Robot Fighter, I'm the first person to put my hands over my eyes when I see myself on screen. So as much as I love it and I love acting, I absolutely love the work, but then when it comes to seeing myself on screen, it's very difficult for me. I'm always cringing.
Yes.
So it's always a bit of a running joke with my friends and I.
Yes, we are always our worst critic. It's really tough.
Aren't we?
Yes. Oh, it's so exciting for you, Ashley. I am just so excited for you. What projects do you see ahead? Are you working on anything else at the moment?
Yes, I'm actually producing a couple of projects at the moment that I actually haven't really announced yet. So I will be doing that eventually. So it's a great way. That's why I say social media is a really great way to see what I'm going to be working on or what I'll be announcing soon. And that's just at XO Ashley Park on Instagram and Twitter. But other than that, I am not currently working on anything else. I just did wrap another feature called Around the Bed. I actually worked with Danelle Turner from General Hospital, and I think it's going to be quite funny. I am Nurse Lee / Special Agent Michelle Chen, and so it was really fun to get to play two different roles in the same movie.
So that was a lot of fun. Oh, that sounds like a really fun movie. And how far is that in production right now?
I believe they are still filming it at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
I think they'll probably be wrapping it up pretty soon, so it should be on the way. I believe it's set to release in 2017.
Oh, how fun. Tell us again, what is the title of that?
Around the Bed.
Around the Bed. Oh, it sounds fun. I'm excited.
It definitely was. I have a couple of web series that should be premiering pretty soon. One is season 2 of Last Life, where I worked alongside Robert Palmer Watkins from General Hospital. And then the other web series is called Bad Sex with Good People, and that's with former Cheetah Girls, Keely Williams, and Sabrina Bryan, as well as Robert Palmer Watkins. So, those will be really fun, really, really fun web series that'll be premiering pretty soon.
So many fun projects, Ashley.
Definitely.
That is so exciting. So what would you say are your goals? What do you have for in the future? Where do you see everything going? Do you have a particular something that you're striving to achieve?
I would say I'm a very goal-oriented person. I always have been, just from being an athlete and being so academically oriented since I was really young. I'm actually currently getting my MBA in marketing, and so that's something that I'm also working on in addition to producing and acting. So I have a lot of goals that I tend to write down. I journal quite a bit. So I do have quite a few goals, but I usually just sort of keep them to myself when mm-hmm. it comes to specifics. But uh-huh. I say that, just finishing my MBA and continuing to pursue my dreams in acting and producing, that's definitely what's on the path for me going forward.
I love that. Mm-hmm. And that door is open. You know, I personally believe, you know, have your goals and, you know, work towards those. But on the other hand, have your hand open and trust and, you know, let things manifest. That is so exciting. Oh, Ashley, it's so exciting. Well, we are down to our last few minutes of the show. What last words would you like to share with all the listeners today?
Let's see. Of all the things that I could share, I think that if there's anything that I usually would want to put out there, it would be the same thing that I said at the pageant when I was asked my question for the top five, and that was, for young people who tend to be bullied, which is something that I actually went through, so it's a personal, something that's personal to me. I would really love for people to just really believe in themselves and really believe that no matter what they're pursuing or what they are dreaming of, that anything can be done. I'm a real believer that anything is possible. I love to pursue every dream that I can possibly concoct in my mind, and I really don't want anyone to hold themselves back. So my message to people is always just to believe in themselves, to shine bright like the stars they are, and don't let anyone ever hold them down or tell them that they can't do something they want to do.
Oh, what a beautiful message, Ashley.
Oh, thanks.
Thank you so much. You are just an inspiration and a gift to so many. I am just so honored to have you on the show.
Thank you so much. I'm honored to be here, and I'm honored to get to talk about all of this. It's really a true honor for me.
Yes, and it's so exciting for me to get the information about you and to allow my listeners to feel that beautiful, beautiful energy of yours. And you're just absolutely fantastic. I have enjoyed this so much today, Ashley.
Oh, thank you so much, Paula. I really appreciate that.
Oh, you're so welcome. And I'm going to be so excited to watch everything you're in and follow you and just real excited to have connected
thank
with
you.
And to our listeners out there, I'm just so happy to have shared her with you today. And I want to say thank you to everyone around the world listening today. We're so excited. Ashley, thank you one more time before we say goodbye. I'm so grateful.
Absolutely. I'm grateful as well. Thank you so much, Paula.
You're welcome, honey. Big hugs. And to the listeners, big hugs out there. I will chat with you again soon. Thank you so much. Everyone, this is Paula Vail, founder of Wellness Inspired and host of the Why Am I So Happy show on VBS Radio. My passion is sharing the beautiful healing modality of Reiki with the world. I help you reach a new level of self-awareness and create a more confident and empowered version of yourself. Learn how Reiki will change your life. Go to wellnessinspired.com. When you live a life with love and compassion, you allow your blessings to manifest. Check out my Reiki training and Reiki practitioner mentoring program. And look for my soon-to-be-released ebook, Why Am I So Happy? At wellnessinspired.com and the paulavnetwork.com. Big hugs to everyone. Paula V. Hello, everyone. Welcome. Paula V here. Welcome to another episode of Why Am I So Happy? Joining me today is Michael J. Russ. Michael is an international best-selling author, speaker, trainer, musician, and world traveler. His latest book and keynote topic is called Zero Adversity, TM. Where he reveals a deceptively simple technique people can use to immediately experience more time, freedom, happiness, productivity, prosperity, and fulfillment. Oh my gosh, I just love that, Michael. I love it. I am so excited to hear more about your book and what you do and what you speak about. I would like to say a big welcome to the show today.
Thank you so much, Paul. I really appreciate the opportunity.
Oh, you're so welcome, and I'm so honored to have you on the show. Would you
like to
share a brief bit of your background and history? What brought you to where you're at today?
I consider myself sort of a cosmopolitan citizen of the world. My father was in the Air Force, and we traveled all over the world. I'd lived in three countries for a total of seven years before I was even 15 years of age. And I started selling. I'm a persuasive personality. I mean, I believe people should really kind of understand who they are and what their traits are, particularly. And I'm a persuasive, so I started engaging in sales activity when I was 15, actually 16, I'm sorry. And so for the last 30 years, I've been in the investment advisory business. When I first got into the business back in 1986, it really, really challenged me because it was a business that where I was actually the captain of my own ship for the very first time. And I mean the captain of my entire ship with no crew. I was everybody, okay? I was the captain. I was the first mate. I was, you know, swabbing decks. I was doing everything, and so to speak, as a metaphor. And for me, it was scary. And because I had basically to be very disciplined, I had to depend upon my own attitude and self-motivation, something I'd already had, but I had to use it in a different way. And I was on 100% commission. I had no paid sick leave, no paid vacation. If I didn't come to work, I didn't make a living. And I did it in the way that I wanted to do it, with integrity and honesty and in a very ethical manner. Which means I built my business a little slower. But I encountered some adversity. The adversity I encountered was self-generated. It's called distress, being in a situation that was beyond your control, perhaps, where you couldn't control every aspect of things. And then there was distress, the physical signs of stress, where I get in the morning and my stomach was torn up. The what am I going to do today? How am I going to make this work this month? Because every month I would wake up on the first day of the month, and I'd have zero income for the month. I'd have to create that income, cultivate that income throughout the month, and I'd end up with a paycheck at the end of the month. And I know most people that could never do that. They need to know how much they're making. To me, I saw it as an opportunity to a limitless opportunity, number one. As long as I could manage my state of mind. So for the last 30 years, I developed a process, a method, so to speak, for approaching, for perceiving and responding and being able to let go of adversity. It allowed me to be more efficient, more resilient, definitely happiness, to me, it's the key to happiness. Matter of fact, it's been called that by people who have read the book, because happiness is obviously generated within, as you know. It's not something that you find from things outside of you. You can be happy with absolutely nothing. And many people in the world, there are many people, many examples of this all around the world, people who have nothing. They're walking 5 miles for water and every day, and they have only one meal a day or two meals a day, and they're still happy. You know, why is that the case? They're not driving a Ferrari. So the fact that I had to rely on myself and my own attitude led me to create this simple process for managing the adversity that I face in the morning, the conversation, my inner conversation, my self-talk. And so I created several books. I decided to sort of methodize these concepts so I could apply them myself easily and simply. And I just put them in the books. I have a couple of 6 books now, a couple of self-talk books that give a method, a four-step process for managing, for assessing and getting your self-talk together and aligning it with your goals. And zero adversity is sort of like the umbrella of this whole process, because your inner conversation is a huge aspect of the adversity that you create for yourself. So that's kind of where I come from. And now I'm semi-retired, and I'm speaking and embarking on a new project, which is to help give college students these tools, these life tools, so that they can manage their way through life, start beginning at a younger age than I did.
Yeah. Oh, I love it, Michael. I love it. Beautiful. Beautiful story. Mm-hmm. And what you're doing, helping so many others. Let me ask you, please describe, what is zero adversity?
Adversity is a method, a technique, a method of approaching, responding and to events where the goal of which is to remain empowered and maintain your resources, your personal resources of time, energy, your state of mind, attitude, that sort of thing. Because what happens when you're happy, you'll know this, because this show is about happiness. You're happy until you're not. And the question is, why are you not? Why are you suddenly not happy? Because something has happened. Something has happened that you have perceived as negative. And when you perceive it as negative, it writes the script for how you respond. And generally, there's a lot that goes along with that response. But generally, a negative perception leads you down that road. And what zero adversity does is it teaches you, number one, that there are 3 different ways you can respond. You can respond to an event positively, negatively, or in a neutral manner. Okay? It talks about, I described the kinds of adversity. There's direct adversity, something that happens to you directly, and an indirect adversity, like a Paris bombing, that's an indirect, or 9/11, that's an indirect adversity. It doesn't happen to you specifically. But you may know of someone who was in the building, or you may know of, through one degree or another, somebody who's been affected by it, mm-hmm. family or otherwise. So what I teach is basically the successful responses that you can make. There are only 2. So it's perceive. You have a choice about how to perceive, respond. There are 2 successful responses to every single event you'll ever encounter in your life. And you know that it's a successful response because creates and generates positive feelings and emotions within you, hope, optimism, love, empathy, compassion, kindness, happiness, fulfillment, joy. Yeah. These are the feelings and emotions that let you know that you've made the right move. And then basically I outline in the book 9 things you need to keep in mind in order to let go of things. And focusing on the how and the why is the biggest mistake people make. In terms of generating further adversity. They're never able to let it go. So this process can be used to not only clear past adversity, something that you've never been able to let go, to eliminate current adversity, and to actually prevent future adversity from managing your expectations and awareness and knowledge.
Wow. So manage our expectations. Oh, I love that. Mm-hmm. Expand on that a bit, if you would.
Let me give you an analogy. An analogy, because I'm a big golfer. So when a lot of people play various sports of some kind. But if I go into the golf course and I have an expectation that I'm going to shoot the best score ever, play my best round ever, that expectation might be a little bit misplaced based on the way I feel that day, my skill level that day. And so after the first couple of holes, if my play is not meeting my expectations, it can lead to anger and other negative emotions, such frustration, that sort of thing, resentment because I'm not, beating myself up. It can lead to the degeneration of adversity, right?
Yes.
So
yes.
I have to go into the round saying, you know what? What will be. I'll manage it a moment at a time. I want to remain in the present moment, do the best I can in the present moment, and that's my expectation. And then what happens, I release my attachment to the end result of whatever the final score is. But I'm going to focus on this because when we project outward a result, future result, and the journey towards that result is not meeting our expectations, it causes adversity.
Yes.
How can you be happy when that's what you're doing? Your expectation is, I'm going to go to this meeting and find the love of my life. Well, is that a viable expectation? No. It's going to generate a lot of adversity within you. Just making that statement is a generator of adversity, and it'll happen very quickly because you're not going to meet, it's not going to be met, okay? So I like to say, futuristically, let's just be in the moment, be in the present moment. That's really what we have to deal with is now. The future is going to be dictated by what we do in this moment, not based on something else. We create our intentions and we move from there.
Yes. I love that. Oh, you are just fantastic, Michael. And I love the golf analogy. I'm a golfer as well. And it's so true. We can go in so many different directions. And I love it.
I've seen people implode that way.
Yes, yes. Well, everyone, we do have to pop out for a moment. But Michael and I will be right back. Thank you, Michael.
Sure. Thank you, Paula.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back. Paula V here with Michael J. Russ. He is the author of Zero Adversity. Oh, Michael, you've just been sharing such great wisdom with us. I'm so excited to continue. I would like to begin with asking, share with us, what are the benefits derived from practicing Zero Adversity?
One of the biggest benefits is that you get your time back.
Oh,
the time, because if you think about it, the big adverse challenges that we face in life, either that happen to us directly or indirectly that we experience, they don't come along every day. It's the little things that you eat up your time and that cause the frustration and the angst and the anxiety. We're talking about getting up in the morning. Perhaps for those people who have to commute, they're all happy and joyful because something happened that morning. They had a great conversation with their kids or interacting with their kids or their loved ones. And then you get in the car and there's an accident up ahead and there's a traffic jam you didn't expect, which throws off your scheduling. So it's the understanding that that it's those feelings and emotions that in that particular circumstance, people, they generate your journey to adversity, those negative feelings and emotions based on that. If I continue that example, you get back, you can use that time more effectively, more efficiently. Why don't you just turn on talk radio and learn something or pop in a CD and experience something? You can listen to your favorite music, something that can, or for those people who can actually talk on the phone hands-free, you can call and rearrange your scheduling while you're sitting in traffic so that whatever you had planned is not going to be messed up or it can be rearranged. That's an effective way. Instead of getting caught up in the how and the why and being angry about the jam, that's it. That's one thing. Time is precious. We have 24 hours in a day, and much of the adversity you face is self-generated, either through your own inner conversation or by events that occur, small little nitpicky little events that happen to you, a loss of your keys, misplacing your cell phone, getting an unexpected phone call from somebody that gives you a little bit of bad news. Those things affect your not only your time, but your attitude, your level of happiness. This show is about being happy. Happiness is hugely affected by events, adverse events, challenges, situations, and circumstances. By the way, adversity, the definition of adversity is misfortunate, unfortunate circumstances, the situations that occur, the events that are misfortunate and unfortunate. And so when you practice through adversity, you get to be happier longer because you have a process that helps you deal with and efficiently let go of whatever the event has happened. So giving an example, just a very brief one. If I outline in my book a little example that really, really happened. I came home and I was taking something out of the car, my girlfriend's car. I had put both my cell phones on top of her vehicle when I took it out, took the whatever I was taking out of her car, went inside. Overnight, fine, everything's great. In the morning, I realized I can't find my cell phones. She's already gone to work. She's driven off with my two cell phones on top of her car. So that's for my business, right? I've got nothing, no way to. So you look at it, my first instinct is to, oh my God, you know, you yell and scream at the top of your lungs. But eventually, you have to take action. So what this particular process does is help you to focus on what you can do instead of what you cannot. You focus on what you can change instead of what you can. I can't change anything about the fact that my cell phones are all, I found them, by the way, out in the street all cracked up on the main drag. Mm-hmm. I picked them up, and then I took action. I went to the cell phone store and had the phones replaced, right? Yeah. I called my insurance, and I didn't have a phone that day, but I had them overnighted. So I said, I've got no phones. I'm not going to be doing any business today. I'll tell you what I can do. I can use a landline to check my voicemail. And I'll go out and either play golf or do something constructive here so that I can maintain my happiness and my fulfillment and joy today. I'll change my focus, right?
Yes.
Just have to shift. It makes you more agile, right? More flexible, more resilient to things that go on. And that's a major, major benefit. Your attitude is more sustainable, happiness more sustainable, time more sustainable.
Yes, I love that. So basically, this scenario happened. Okay, so you react, and you can carry that anguish and that anger and upset with you all day, or you can say, okay, this happened. What do I need to do from this moment on to resolve it?
Right.
I'm going to go do it. I'm going to resolve it, and I'm not going to beat myself up that it happened. I've let it go, correct?
Right.
Yep.
Yeah, correct. Awesome. You're perceiving it. You perceive it. If you perceive that thing as totally and completely negative, then that's the script you're going to write, and you're going to get angry about it, frustrated. You're going to tell 100 people on social media and tell every friend you encounter that day. You're going to drag it out into perpetuity, and it's not going to be the only event that occurs that day.
Yes.
If you simply understand, I've got the ability to perceive this as something positive.
Yes.
Positive being something that I can transmute this situation into something else, transform it into something else. Okay, transmute my feelings from negative to positive by changing my perception of the event. I didn't perceive the phone loss, breakage, as the worst thing ever. So I didn't go down that road of it's the worst thing ever, right? So my response was focus on what I can do instead of what I cannot. I can't go back and get the phones back and turn back the clock of hand of time. I have to move forward. And then basically letting it go is simple. I just let go of the event and moved on to something else.
I love it. I love that.
Until the phones arrive.
Yes. And tell us, can zero adversity, can that technique also be applied to clear past adversity?
Absolutely. Very simply put, if you're carrying something, I know people who carry the death of someone with them or some other sort of event with them, and they wear it like a badge of honor, and it's a negative event. And, you know, breast cancer research and the whole breast cancer, I have a friend who had double mastectomy. She had breast cancer. She's over it now. And she would refer to herself as a breast cancer survivor. And I said, you know what? That's not a good label for you. A good label for you is if you don't have cancer anymore, why aren't you just an incredibly healthy individual? It was something I dealt with, and I'm now incredibly healthy. See yourself as a healthy person, not as someone who is labeled as this thing. And it's a matter of perception. It's a matter of perception. I mean, that's on the far end of things. But I know people. I just had my one of my best friends, 33 years, just passed away from prostate cancer a week ago. And I found out when I was on a trip to California. And my method of working through death of he's the second best friend I've had die in the last 4 years. When you get to be above your mid-50s, over your mid-50s, all of a sudden there are health issues that happen to people that are very close to you that you've known for a long period of time. So I said very simply, this is the way I handle it. I quietly sit for a moment. I envision that person's spirit surrounded by white light. And I say to myself, I say to them basically out into to the universe, I'm happy to have known you. I loved your spirit and soul while it was here. I loved our interaction together. And then I go do something, perform a random act of kindness in their name.
Oh.
Could be something very simple. And because performing a random act of kindness is the quickest way to get through grief. And yes, I have a good cry, because it is something that deserves to be expressed. But as far as carrying it forward, carrying it on into perpetuity, I can't change anything about what has happened. I can't turn back the hand of time. Dealing with how and why he passed away is inconsequential. The consequence is, and so me, it is actually helped me avoid future adversity with this. So with everyone I know or that I encounter, I use kindness, empathy, compassion, love, respect, integrity, honesty. That's the way that's living authentically, and that is what the way I live, the way I encounter people. And all of my friends, girlfriend on up, I let them know on a daily basis how I feel about them. So if anything happens to them and they're no longer here, I don't have any regrets.
Yes.
I told him that I loved him the last time I was on the phone with him. I gave him a hug the last time and told him I loved him the last time I saw him, not knowing that he was going to pass away 2 weeks later. So it's those actions you have. You can't help prevent the future adversity of regret or frustration or anger or bitterness, that sort of thing. There's no room for drama, anger in a relationship. You are the one who changes it. It all begins with you, not the other person that needs to change. It's yourself. You can perceive it differently, and when you do, then you change the script almost immediately, and you can clear that adversity either by taking action to go and speak to that person and let them know how you feel. Forgiving yourself, that's an action. There are 9 different things you can do. Not focusing on the how and the why things happen, because that's why you're angry, upset, bitter, because of the how and the why things occur. That is inconsequential again. So clearing it is a matter of changing your the way you're perceiving what has occurred.
Yes. Oh, Michael, I love this. You are just fantastic. I just love your wisdom. Could you share?
You.
Oh, you're so welcome. I'm afraid we're near saying goodbye. Could you
sure.
please share with the listeners how they can order your book or contact you for a speaking engagement, anything along that line?
Yeah, I do consultations to help people clear adversity as well. Michael, you can reach me through my website, michaeljruss.com, michaelj as in Joseph, Russ, russ.com. I can be reached as well at inquiry@michaeljruss.com by email. And my contact info is on my website. And my book is on Amazon. I only sell through Amazon. I don't even bother to do it on my website. But there's a lot of really great blog information. There's some great videos on my website as well. I do training. And try to put through some trainings. I have a podcast called the Powerful Living Podcast on iTunes. I just attempt to get this information out there. So Amazon.com, look up Michael J. Russ, Zero Adversity. You'll find all my books under my name, Zero Adversity included.
I love it. And everyone, I will be sharing another episode of Michael down the road. So keep your eyes open for that. I'm just so honored to have had you with us today, Michael. Thank you
Thank
so
you.
Much.
Thank you. You're welcome so much.
Welcome. Love, hugs, and blessings. And to our listeners out there, love, hugs, and blessings. Goodbye, everyone.
Bye-bye.